Waddle and Sylvie, from our State Street studio to your hellish commute home. We're there with you, making it bearable. Never mind. Back to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Let me get my headphones on.
You want to talk some White Sox baseball? White Sox game has been canceled. Doubleheader tomorrow, Tyler? Is that what we're hearing?
Doubleheader tomorrow. Straight doubleheader starting at 1:10.
Straight doubleheader at 1:10.
Wait, so is Carm getting out of the garden now?
What's that?
What's happening with Carmen now?
Oh, that's right. Does Carm then not have to go to the Olive Garden?
No, I think it's got to be a feast. It's got to be like a huge feast.
They'll still have a show, right?
That's right. It would be if, in fact, their show was canceled because of rain. So, yeah, no, they're still on. Game on for Carm, for sure.
What is? Does he have a half-hour show tomorrow now?
I think so. Oh, it's supposed to rain a little tomorrow, too.
So this, we were in the bathroom, and then my phone, rang for, a half a ring, and by the time I picked it up, it was Brendan, the executive producer of White Sox Baseball. I'm like, oh, they must be calling this into a delay, because I said to Tyler, are we good? Can we leave? And he goes, you guys are good, and I thought there'd be no delay, and once pregame starts, we're fine. And they went from no delay to canceling the game. So they postponed it into a doubleheader. So, the White Sox game has been banged.
They banged it.
They have the better chance, I think, of winning a game in a doubleheader situation. Because it's really hard to sweep a game. It's hard to sweep a doubleheader. So I think
it depends on your opponent.
I think in a doubleheader situation, the White Sox have a better chance to win a game.
Do you think that's why they decided?
Yes, I think so.
Do the White Sox have control over that, or is it the umpires?
I think it's Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball.
I think that's the way. I think Major League Baseball decides now.
Once the game starts, then it becomes the discretion of the umpires, I think.
Is that
the case?
Yes, the umpires, yeah.
They know the White Sox don't make very good decisions on any front, so they would never leave that to them.
Maybe the White Sox were geniuses with the optional stretch. Maybe they knew. Maybe Roger Bossert said, don't make it a mandatory stretch. We're probably going to get the game delayed.
Just for today.
So, yes, we are back till our normal time of 6:30.
No, we're just at least, Meller said at least 6:30.
What do you mean at least 6:30?
That's what I said to him, and then it was time for us to come back on the air.
Late?
No, I've got
some programming
playing
to fill, boys. Yeah.
Meller's usually at the halfway up the garage ramp.
Actually,
I
think I have to. I started my car. I have to stop that.
Did you remote start your car?
I did. I'm glad you said that because I forgot about it.
All right. If you want to talk to us, 312-332-3776. Whether it be about, let me just update you on what's going on today. So the White Sox game postponed tonight against Kansas City. They're going to play a straight through doubleheader tomorrow. The good news is if you buy tickets for tomorrow's game, you get two. So you don't have to, it's not a day-night doubleheader. Two for the price of one.
Do you think they'll have,
is that really, what's that mean?
Are they going to have 800 milkshakes, though?
That's right.
Well, they make double the amount of milkshakes, yeah.
I mean, because usually they plan for one. They've got, you'd think they'd have 400 for today, right? What do they do with those milkshakes versus tomorrow's?
Those will be stored, won't they? They
those
stay
are the
good.
First batch,
oh,
yeah.
I don't think you can store the milkshakes. You don't do that.
Well, no,
they got to be
just
fresh.
You just freeze the chocolate. That's what they have. That's why it's in the freezer.
This milkshake stuff has gotten more pub than anything. The Cubs play the Diamondbacks. They've won a few in a row here.
They've
won three in a row. Bush, you know, we haven't even talked about Michael Bush. What Jed has been able to do with a few of these moves, they have, a lot of Cubs fans have been frustrated with maybe the budget, but can you be frustrated with some of the player evaluation?
I think Jed has, listen, do I believe Jed would have spent money if he had it on another starting pitcher several weeks ago? I said, yes, I do. I do believe that Jed would have loved to enhance the depth in his starting rotation if he was given the financial flexibility to do so. I think he's made a lot of really good decisions, and so far so good on a lot of stuff that has happened.
So, again, probably they didn't think that they would get Shota because a lot of people had him projected and making over $100 million when free agency started. But then once his price went down and there weren't takers, he was living in Chicago. He called the Cubs. He goes, I'd like to pitch here. And then they finally met and they realized that the price would be right and it would be a match. They get Shota. He's so far through three starts has been exactly what they needed. Ben Brown, who has come to the majors quicker than they wanted him to get to the majors, has been great. He had one bad inning, and that was in his very, very first appearance. Since that, in his last three outings, he's been outstanding, and he was dominant during a stretch last night against Arizona. Michael Busch and the trade that they made there has been great so far. They have found their first baseman. This has sort of been, again, it's very, very early. I'm not telling you he's going to be Anthony Rizzo. So, Mellor, don't jump on me. But it reminds me of, on paper, of the Rizzo move. He had familiarity with Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo, remember, was drafted by Boston. And because he was blocked there, I think they got Adrian Gonzalez at the time. And then they traded him to San Diego. Then he struggled with San Diego. Jed then was in San Diego. The Cubs acquired Rizzo after he struggled, after he was sent back down. The same thing was with Busch, where Busch was their minor league player of the year with the Dodgers, but he was blocked because of Freeman. So they're like, look, he's a really, really good hitter. He's got nowhere to play with the Dodgers. But he's a highly touted prospect. We need a first baseman. Let's go out and trade for
him.
And
what did they give up for him?
A pitcher.
Couple. I think two future.
Jackson Ferris was the big one.
Yeah, but Ferris is going to be good, but he's very low. He's low in the system, isn't he? Like a single A guy?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, he's young and years away.
So and he may turn out to be good, but Michael Busch has homered in five straight games, and I believe their record is 6.
Now, unlike Matt Mervis, Sylvie, I'll give you, like, Michael Busch is somebody who I was intrigued by when the Cubs traded for him, and the fact that he's got good plate discipline, which is what you want to see.
Yes.
So I think that was a shrewd move, and I think he's somebody who is certainly capable of hitting 30-plus homers, and he's proven it, I think, through this little stretch here.
My whole thing with Mervis was is that he was a guy from AAA who hit over 30 home runs, and I just wanted him to play in a development year over Mancini and Hosmer. That was all my thing. I wasn't promising that Mervis was going to turn out. It was just I wanted guys like Morel and Mervis to play instead of older veterans, kind of like how you're frustrated with older White Sox players playing on an everyday basis who are done in their career. So,
fair counterpoint.
Anything about what you've seen from Cody Bellinger that leaves you feeling one way or another?
I'm not panicking okay. yet. He had a hit later in that game. But yeah, I'd like him to start hitting. Like, again, like you've brought up to me that they have pulled out a couple of these games that they probably should not have won. And like my counter to you is they are 10-6 with two of their top pitchers out, Kyle Hendricks struggling, Saya now out of the lineup,
mm-hmm.
and guys like Bellinger, Happ, and now Morel slumping. So to like I still think even though they've gotten some bounces here or there, you always have to have bounces, but even with all those injuries, including blowing an 8-0 game against San Diego and a long 9-game road trip, they find themselves 6 games above 500. That's a really good spot to be in.
No, they've got a little mojo working right now, and maybe Horner's kind of breaking out of his slump as well. Look, I'm just saying, like the you've got mojo. When last night he takes an eye high fastball the other way in a crucial moment, they scored a run to tie the game in the 9th inning on a wild pitch. I believe it was Horner that scored from second base.
He was on second base.
You just got to ride. When you've got the momentum at your back, you just got to ride it.
They could not score. I was very frustrated. I was frustrated. In the two last wins, I spent more time being frustrated than I was being happy.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were going to lose the game on Sunday.
But they found ways to win.
And they found ways to win.
Yeah. And it's very infrequent that the home team gets two tries in extra innings and doesn't play
score.
A run.
Yes.
Like, it's very unusual for them.
Yes. I think there was a game late in the year. I think they played at Arizona late in the year, and they had one of those weird games last year, too, where the
Cubs knocked them out.
Yeah, right? And, like, the Cubs couldn't score, then Arizona wouldn't score, and then finally Arizona just did score. And then they got sort of, they won one of these games finally. But yeah, you don't usually see a game where neither team can score.
Look, I know it's so early. It's 16 games for most of the teams in the season. But the National League Central has to be arguably the biggest surprise in Major League Baseball. The collection of teams. The Brewers.
The Pirates.
The Pirates.
The Reds.
I mean, the Reds and the Cubs. I think teams thought that the Cubs and Reds would probably battle for the division, with the Cubs being a slight favorite. But what the Pirates have gotten off to, the start they've gotten off to, and the Brewers, they've scored 94 runs in 15 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's been good baseball playing the Central.
I've enjoyed tuning into Cubs games every night.
Yeah, it's fun.
Every time they're on, I tune them in.
I have marquee and just limited TVs in my house because I changed my whole configuration. But I was laying in bed last night watching the Cubs on marquee on my phone. I looked at my phone. It was 5 of midnight. And
look,
I was still
look
watching.
At you.
Yeah, I was still watching.
My wife gave me the stink eye. And now the stink face. What's more than the stink eye? What is it when you're vocally pissed off? She came to bed and I had the game on and it was late.
A vote of disapproval?
Disapproval. Yeah. She's like, oh, it's still tied. It's still, this means you're not turning the game off.
Yeah, I mean,
listen,
I know that Mike Wilbon wasn't doing that because all he cares about is playing basketball games at this time of the year. Doesn't want to talk about the NFL draft or silly baseball. But last night, I was watching on my phone the Cubs and D-backs at midnight.
Yeah.
I'm a baseball fan.
Of course. Your local teams, that's what you do. All right, so let's go around the rooms. Tonight is Cal Hendricks, yes, while we're on the Tuz, yes. All right, how many innings, how many runs?
Five and five. Five for fighting. Five innings, five runs.
Pretty good.
That's a good outing for him.
Why is
that
good? Is it a good guess? Or
No, that's a good outing for him.
Okay. It's a good guess, though. Because he could have, like, four good ones and then allow, like, he could go for four innings, one run, and then allow four in the last inning and go five for five, like Waddle said. I want to be positive. I don't know how I can.
You can do it.
4 2/3, four runs.
Now, listen, in his three starts, he's given up five earned runs in the first two and seven in the third start. I think five earned runs is being fair.
4 2/3, four runs.
Just the way that, like, the baseball gods operate. Today's a loss for the Cubs, probably, yeah. Right? Like, after a game like last night.
After the last two.
It's kind of like the Padres. The Padres were never winning that next game after they lost the one, or after they won the one, 8-0, when they were down 8-0. Same thing's going to happen with the Cubs today. So I'm going to go 3 2/3, six runs.
Are you going to bet the D-backs tonight?
No.
Huh? What do they do if he goes 3 2/3 and allows six? Are they? Is he going right on the IL to make room for what's his name coming back?
Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, Taillon.
That's the thing. Is like, what do you do with Hendricks if this does blow up and you can't pitch him because you can't put him in the bullpen?
He's not a bullpen pitcher. You're not DFAing him.
No. You're going to need him at some point.
I think
this
you're going to IL him and hope that, like, you're going to say he's got shoulder tightness, and then you hope 10 days get him better. I think that's what you do.
You're going to need him at some point this year.
The interesting thing, because, like, we know he's struggled in April before, but if you look at it, he's had, what, one start in good weather, another in a dome. Tonight's going to be a dome. Like, yeah, it's not a weather thing for him.
No, and this is not his characteristic slow start. Maybe it's worse than before, but it's not. He needs to get better here quickly.
He's throwing BP at this point.
Yeah. Meller, did you give a guess?
You know, I'm right there with Tyler. I'm going to go 4 1/3, and I'll go six earned runs.
Ooh.
So I'm the most optimistic at four runs in 4 2/3. All right. What do we got coming up after us, guys? Are we cross-talking with anybody, or are we going straight till 6:30?
It'll be myself and Jeff Miller.
Okay, so we'll continue our conversation.
Right. Yes!
Brought to you by Steinhoffels.
Hey, what do you guys have on the show tonight, guys? Huh?
Working on the fly, brother.
In case you missed the news, the Sox game has been postponed. We have a doubleheader for you tomorrow. What is first pitch again? Is it 1:10?
1:10.
1:10 first pitch, straight through, too. So not a day-night doubleheader. We're going straight through. We're playing 18 innings.
They could lose these two games in like 3.5 hours, so we may be on at some point.
I am predicting a White Sox win tomorrow. It is my lock of the day.
A White Sox winner!
I am locking a White Sox win.
First or second win?
I can't go that far.
But a doubleheader sweep?
No. I won't do that either.
Streak.
I'm giving you a White Sox win tomorrow.
Listen, this is... They may sweep because you know what the Royals are doing tonight.
You think they're going out?
Hell yes.
They're getting their drink on?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
They get two against the White Sox tomorrow. They've got these in the win column right now. No question.
I think, and by the way, we haven't played this either. I think Greeny finally took our advice. We shamed him when he was on our show last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I think finally on national television, Greeny finally took our advice. Because all the nonsense has finally ended on Get Up. We will play you it coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No Sox game tonight. It's been postponed. We'll have a doubleheader for you tomorrow against the Royals. Talking a little Cubs earlier this segment as we are on. You may have heard us sign off, but then we were brought back in quickly.
Just when we thought we were out.
Did you make it out of the building?
No, I was in the bathroom. Yeah, my phone started to ring. It was kind of like the Carmen and Yurko situation the other day where I was in the bathroom. We're cross-talking with Tyler and Meller, who will be on till 8 o'clock tonight. It's brought to you by Steinhoffels, 4 Chicagoland locations, the newest one in Harwood Heights.
Sun's out.
This is the sunniest it's been all day.
They know what they're doing, though, guys. Come on the weather front, at least. They know weather and milkshakes.
I was going to say, how many milkshakes were sold today?
Before the cancellation?
Because that's the move now. You get into the park, I guess you have to go out and get your milkshake to make sure.
It's a hot item.
Jimmy from the north side says the game's been postponed due to optional player game participation.
Oh, the jokes. So Shefty was on Get Up today. They had their entire draft crew on the Get Up set today.
It's a big crew.
Yeah. It's Booger.
Mm-hmm.
It's Greeny.
Riddick.
It's Riddick. And it's Mel.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody else?
That's a draft day crew right there.
Yeah. And finally, like after we were busting Greeny's balls, like why are you guys continuing to sell that, hey, Caleb Williams may not go one?
And by the way, there's enough drama. Who's going to go 2-3? Are they going to move up for 4? Is this going to be the first time in NFL history where 4 quarterbacks are going to go 1-4? They don't need to manufacture the Bears. What are they going to do at 1?
Right.
Type of drama.
Who's going to get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like,
yeah, there's plenty of drama.
Who gets Neighbors? Who gets Adunze? Like, all this stuff.
The other thing is, are there any people out there who are consumers of the NFL draft who are like, you know, I know who's going to be picked number one. I'm not going to watch anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch.
Now that I know. Now that Greeny's telling me that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams, I'm out.
No drama. Meh.
So finally, like after we talked to him last Friday or maybe two Fridays ago.
I think we shook him a little bit, too.
Yes,
I didn't think that he was coming on to be berated.
No, he was even saying that he's hearing some whispers that Caleb may not want to play. We don't hear those whispers. And so finally, by the end of that conversation, he was like, okay, fine. Caleb Williams to the Bears, it's a lock. So, this is his, and all the other NFL insiders are finally saying it too. I think Schrager wrote it in his mock. The Bears have known this for a while. Caleb Williams to the Bears is a lock. And this is Schefter saying it. Schefter, today on Get Up, basically saying it's a lock that Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick.
The Bears have the number one overall pick, and you could put it on the bottom line right now. The Bears are expected to take Caleb Williams at number one. This is the possibility that they've been preparing for all along. They've been planning for it. They traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Caleb Williams is going to become the newest first-round pick in Chicago, a quarterback trying to make it in a way that some of the other quarterbacks there that they've used first-round draft picks on haven't been able to make it in the past. And Greeny, you know that city very well. There's a long line of quarterbacks that they've taken at that slot, but Caleb Williams will come in with huge expectations. They're making plans for him. Everything's underway. He's going to be the number one pick in this upcoming draft.
That's as firm as you're going to get from the network, from Shefty. Put it on the bottom line. Caleb Williams is going to be the number one draft
pick. So there was no but what if from Greeny?
Okay, good. You were watching too, weren't you?
I did not see it this morning, no.
I thought you said you were watching.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah, I saw his text this morning, too. I thought he said the same thing.
He said I was just watching it.
No, not that part.
Oh.
There was something else that I was watching that you guys were talking about.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. Yeah, I took it as I thought it was Schefter as well that he was watching.
No,
and
I wasn't
was
watching.
Like, all right, the Get Up crew is finally coming to their senses that it's going to be Caleb Williams.
Well, thank God. I mean, like, listen, I mean, that's such a manufactured story that it's going to be somebody else.
Getting back to it, even Bears fans, knowing that Caleb Williams is the pick, are just as interested because the Bears are picking ninth.
Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So even knowing that Caleb Williams is the selection, we're going to be locked in and watching the draft.
Yeah, for quite some time now, nine has been the more fascinating selection with the Chicago Bears.
I think after Justin, right?
Yeah, once Justin...
Or was it after the pro day? When did it become...
Probably after Justin got traded.
Well, no, but I think I know what Sylvie's saying. Once they kind of started intimating, we started hearing about the multiple dinners with Caleb and the fact that they weren't attending other quarterbacks' pro days, right?
I think that was after Caleb. Or after the Justin.
I think that's what Sylvie's saying, right?
We knew they were moving off of Justin. We weren't still 1,000% sure that it was Caleb. We were pretty sure. But then I think we got some more news that, yes, in fact, it is going to be Caleb Williams.
We were still uncertain because Greeny was throwing out the misdirection. He's like, hey, I don't know.
I think all along they were totally comfortable with the player. They had to get comfortable with the person.
Yes.
And that took longer and was, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, was further down the line. And remember, there was also the conversation about he hadn't provided his medicals and they hadn't had a chance to see him. And I mean, it was just a matter of time before that all was going to take place. And there's still people out there probably denying that the Bears are going to actually draft him first overall. There were people out there that told you all along that they weren't ever going to trade Justin. Those people disappeared into the ether, I believe. Or are they still out there?
They're out there.
They're lurking. Yeah.
Did they change their Twitter handles?
They changed their pictures. They're all Caleb pictures now.
It's now.
Are they now? Is yeah, it now?
It, it, it,
well, good. That's the way it should
at,
be.
At Caleb season.
Yeah. Yes.
At SSZN.
Is that what it is now?
At Caleb season.
Okay. Well, that's the way it should
be. It's no longer him, HIH1M. It's now Caleb season. Yes.
But they've got their receipts, though, too. They've got those all saved, and they'll bring those out if Justin Fields.
Oh yeah, how many people truly want this to finally be the quarterback that we've all been looking for, or some of them out there want him to fail so they can say, "I told you so."
I hope not. Are you a Bears fan? Then what's the point?
Well, right? I mean, we've had that question about a ton of people.
That's how fandom has sort of shifted.
This is true.
Lately.
Where I agree
people
with that.
Are especially
they're fans of being right about their certain team. Points.
Well,
versus
no, I was going to say there's fans of players more so than certain teams.
Well, give me a fourth round pick. I want Justin to ball out, and I want Caleb Williams to ball for my favorite team.
Boom! Yeah. There we go.
And they meet in the Super Bowl.
Perfect.
That'll be fun.
Perfect.
Bears Steelers Super Bowl. What do you think, Justin? Starting.
I'll take it.
Pittsburgh.
I'll take it.
Yeah, of course.
I don't care about them. I care about our team. That's all I want. It's going to be an exciting time. No guarantee, but like, look, you've put together an excellent infrastructure. You're going to draft a kid that has a lot of people excited, that can do a lot of stuff. Now develop him. Now go out there and teach him and put him in positions to make big plays. And then my expectation is he's got to be a better quarterback than what we've seen here the last 3 years. And it's got to happen this year. I'm not asking him to be Patrick Mahomes, but I'm asking him to play at a level because of the group around him and because of the promise that he has, be a better quarterback than what we've seen in town the last 3 years. I don't think that's asking for a ton. I don't think that bar is exceptionally high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm expecting, look, if he comes out and struggles, which I think that there will be moments, I don't expect it to be blue skies and sunshine, like the weather here in Chicago tonight.
And rainbows.
But the body of work is, it better be damn good.
So what are you guys going to talk about?
I mean, obviously we're on Austin Matthews' watch to see if he can score his 70th tonight.
Spell Austin.
You don't want him to stay on 69?
This is it's a
win-win.
There you go, right? Bruce Bochy's 69th birthday, so happy birthday to
him. It is nice to Bruce Bochy.
That's a big head. That is a big head. On his 69th birthday, happy birthday to Bruce Bochy. Yeah. I don't know. I think we're probably going to talk about the Bears' draft plans. We'll preview the Cubs as they get set to square off against the Diamondbacks after the big win.
What about some playing game stuff?
Yeah, we'll do that too.
Wilbon demands it.
We got to dive in and Wilbon's edict. If you're
break down how much you believe in the Chicago Cubs, Mellor.
Sure, we can do that. Yeah. And if you're according
you're the
to
baseball expert,
Wilbon's edict. If you're not on the WNBA bus, you're going to get run over by it.
Are you going to get run over?
I think we're going to roll up our sleeves and
break
down some Sky basketball. I noticed we didn't have them winning a series. We didn't even ask if they're going to. Is that like
it's a foregone conclusion?
Okay.
Well, they're coming off a really bad year, aren't they? Didn't they have a really bad season this past season?
Didn't they still sneak into the playoffs last year? It's like the last
thing is,
seed.
What, there's 12 teams, so you can turn around quickly with 12 teams.
Couple players.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
It's basketball.
And it's basketball. All you need is like one or two players.
You land yourself a star, and all of a sudden, you're in contention. So
just
it's a novel
draft
concept
Patrick
in
Williams
basketball.
At fourth overall. Well, just don't do that.
So yeah, lots to do. Lots to do for 90 minutes.
Do you guys have stuff to play? Or are you guys going uninterrupted till 8?
No, I think we'll probably take a break or two along the way.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll figure
all
it
right.
out.
So no White Sox game. The White Sox game's been postponed. We've got a doubleheader for you tomorrow. We went a full hour. The sun is shining in downtown Chicago right now.
It's been sunny all day. It's
so nice out right now.
Charlie's here. Jack's here.
This girl's walking by a short sleeve shirt. No umbrella.
No umbrella's out right now.
No White Sox baseball.
It's gonna
tonight.
Rain
the weather
now.
Is not good.
It's a beautiful day for a milkshake.
It's who I trust the most, though, on the South Side. Is the sod father. Roger Bossert is going to get the radar right. He's not going to botch it.
There you go.
You better. This is a milkshake selling opportunity he's missing out on right now.
All right, Tyler Mellor. Are we wrapping up the show again?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Go to the bathroom.
For the second
we're
time.
Call you back in 3 minutes.
I'm not coming back this time.
So again, if you missed the A.J. Pierzynski conversation on why he and the White Sox have separated in the ambassadorship, you need to go to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@WaddleAndSylvie. Also, Mel Kiper on the mock draft and what the Bears should do. Great conversation there. That's on the YouTube as well. And Waddle and Wilbon got into it. That's also on our YouTube page.
You betcha.
A lot of yelling going on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to them, Tyler and Mellor, for the second time. Thank you. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
The afternoon drive is easier with Waddle and Sylvie. Chill out. They're coming right back. ESPN Chicago.